Blog Talk Radio. we're going to introduce now the same time. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in on Blog Talk, as well as we are on Facebook Live at the same time. We are giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise on tonight and letting God have his way so that God can do what only he can do and nobody else. We won't give anybody else the platform. We won't give anybody else the roadway. We won't even give them the right-of-way because God is our Lord and Savior. God is our right-of-way. Y'all must think kids catch that. He is our right-of-way. No matter which way you drive it, he is our right-of-way. And I thank God that he allowed me to live long enough to say, I'm yours, Lord. Do with me what you see fit. Keep me, carry me, and use me, God. That's the only thing I can say because everybody have a story. But until you know your story, because you didn't present it to God yourself as a willing vessel, you won't know the purpose that God has for you. And that's why I love Monday nights, the fourth Monday, where the man and woman that teach us about God's ways of a man and a wife, the husband and the woman, and the children. Yeah, I said it the right way. The man and the wife, the husband and the woman. You'll catch it a little later. But I'm going to introduce them to you now so that we can go by the word of God. Minister Ron and Missionary Tony, are you on the line?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we're here, Minister Sylvia.
That's what I was praying and hoping for. And what I'm going to do, because I was talking on Facebook before the music ended with Blog Talk, I'm going to put it in your hands now that you all can pray for us, bless us, and just give us what God has given you on tonight. And if I have any comments, I will see if I can put that in, or I will wait for the end, okay?
Okay. We're going to ask you to, we have an activity we want to sort of open the mic and close it, but we'll let you know about that after prayer, okay?
Okay.
We're looking for audience participation.
Okay.
I'm going to open us up with prayer, though, Minister Sylvia, right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, our heads bowed, our hearts humbled, Lord, in your presence, Lord, to just thank you and praise you for being the one and only true God, Lord. And we just praise you for revealing yourself to us as such. And Lord, it makes it so easy to love and to praise you because you loved us first. You invented us, O Lord. And therefore, you have the right to tell us how life is supposed to be lived, what your intention was for us in the first place, O Lord. That is why you left us your book of instruction, and that's why we study it and we take it to heart, and we put our hearts and our feet to it. We walk the walk, we talk the talk, and we be the things that you intended for us to be. Lord, we pray that you guard our tongues tonight, my wife, Tony, and I, as we go about the business of spreading your word as truth. What you meant for marriage to be, your original intent, and why, Lord, and you, we just want to put together some of the nuts and the bolts of how to maintain that. Marriage is difficult, but it is possible, and it is so beneficial for us, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless this word, bless this ministry, as they continue to put forth your word first. And we just ask and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Ron.
Good to be here. And we're going to start, we actually got up a series.
A series. We're going to do a series, y'all.
We're going to do on a relationship tune-up, maintenance plan for marriage.
Yes.
And we do want a little bit of participation tonight. And here's what we're going to do. There's an exercise that we can do. We did this at our church several years ago, and this is going to be virtual and visual. So you're going to have to use your imagination. But I do want you to take pen and paper or use your memory if you can. I want you to act if you have a, act like you have a balloon. Just pick out and make it something that you can see perfectly and that you it's favorable to you. Maybe it's your favorite color, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're going to get this balloon, and you're going to blow it up very carefully so that you don't bust it, right? And you're going to take your invisible pen with your invisible ink, and you're going to write on this balloon 6 words or less, because we don't want to make this too complex. What you learn from these presentations, since we've been doing this stuff in January, we've been talking about the purpose of marriage, we've been talking about listening, quarreling, co-parenting, role of the husband, role of the wife, blessings, etc. And we want to see, what did you learn in 6 words or less? They could be 6 separate words or 6 different things. They could be 3 word phrases. Just something that you picked up and you heard and that you would love to and you're applying in your life. So listen, remember, listening, quarreling, co-parenting, purpose of marriage, role of the husband, role of the wife, blessing, anything else I might have left out that you heard.
Yeah.
Tony?
Yeah. So any of those, just think about those things that really sort of stand out in your mind as we taught the different lessons starting in January. So think about that and what really you remember. And now with that balloon, believe it or not, now that it's all blown up, you're going to write that on that balloon. And now what we're going to ask Minister Sylvia to do is whatever you wrote on that balloon, would you share it with us right now? So if you would open the mic and people can just tell them, they didn't have to say your name, just tell us what you wrote on the balloon. We're going to leave you anonymous.
If you want to be.
If you want to say who you are, you can't. I just want people to be free just to say what they've learned.
Okay, I'll start off with Minister Sylvia. I'm asking the Apostle Elect to open the line. I learned, the 6 things I learned was, 1, communication.
Mm-hmm.
2, listening.
Mm-hmm.
3, sharing.
Mm-hmm.
4, how to be quiet. It's a combination where how to be quiet and don't have to always have the last word. 5, I learned to obey.
Mm.
6, I learned love.
Okay.
Unconditional.
All right.
Unconditional.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Minister Sylvia. Anyone else? Or should I say who's next? Because I know somebody wants to chime in. What have you learned about marriage?
Oh, my God. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Carmita. And y'all asking, you're asking the question. Okay, what have I learned? Now, what I remember...
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of the lessons that I have learned, and it would mm-hmm. probably take me more time than you have to remember all of them. But the thing that was most, the thing that was that comes to my mind in the forefront of my mind is family. Family is a foundation. It's a fundamental institution of human society, and in that family, children are a treasure. Okay, and the family has to first be founded by God, and the parents are instructed to teach their children.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The family provides a safe place where children can experience God's love through the parents. In today's day and age, I believe you talked about the fact that children are not getting that love, that theological education, that foundation is not being set in the family. So they project what they have learned at home, which is why the youth of today is so uncaring, unloving, and disrespectful. That stands out in my mind. Also, when you talked about how the parents should communicate. If the parents aren't communicating and they're not on the same wavelength and there's conflict and chaos, then what's happening with the children? I remember one lesson, things that cause quarrels. Where the communication, we have to, I think Minister Sylvia said, listen without emotion. Dishonest and silent communication was one area. And, ooh, there was so much.
Is that good? Okay, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Derek. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you, Mr. Derek. All right. Who else? Does someone else like to make a comment? Because we're not finished with this exercise yet. We got one more thing we have to do.
I would like to say first the six things that I learned. I have to say, I have to preface it by saying it all begins with how to. So how to listen, how to love, how to talk to people, how to communicate, how to care, and last but not least, false evidence.
And who is that talking?
Cecilia.
Well, she can remain anonymous if she wants to.
Evidence.
Well, I certainly am curious. Okay. The next part of this exercise, you've got all these things written on this balloon. Now, you got to picture this. Get this back in your head. Okay? And you've got to get your partner, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your friends in the room with you. And you're going to toss this balloon up in the air. Each of y'all have a balloon. You're going to toss them up in the air. And you're going to do whatever it takes to keep that balloon in the air. Keep it from falling all the way down. And the higher in the air you keep it, the better. And think about all the things that you have to go through in the room that you're in now. The avoidance of the furniture. The not knocking over the glass. The not tearing up the chair or the lamp. Or knocking the pictures off the wall. All the care that you have to take in and the keeping that balloon
up
in the air, okay? And then it's just a plan. Sooner or later, you'll develop a regular plan of how to do it so that it becomes a habit, thing that you do naturally and whatnot, because you're so familiar with the surroundings and so familiar with the thing that you have to do. And that's just to give you an idea of what it takes to keep your marriage fresh, exciting, and in the spirit of God's will.
Right. You know, Paul really gives us a guideline to tune up our marriage and our relationship when he talks about in Galatians 5:19-26. And what he gives us is a contrast. He tells us what our marriage look like when we're dealing with the flesh as compared to when we are really walking in the spirit. So can you read that for me, Ron?
Yeah, if Mrs. Sylvia, we get everybody to close their mics now.
Yeah, we can we're gonna move on.
We're gonna move
Thank y'all for participating.
And yeah, that was fun. I could see y'all bouncing around in those rooms there, but keeping those balloons from falling.
They're scooping it. I can see them scooping it up, scooping it, and getting it, you know. And then, like, they back got a little hitch in it, so they had to get onto the other side. Yeah, and you could see that. But they were helping each other out. We could see that. That was it.
The fifth chapter of Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting at the 19th verse, going to the 26th, Galatians 5:19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Paul gives us these guidelines to help us to maintain a godly life. So those are the same principles we need to apply to our marriage.
Amen.
And so it is important that we really realize that everything that we want, all of the caring, all of the communication, how to be quiet, how to obey, is all part of the Spirit. But you know, it's funny, Ron, that that there's something about a marriage tune-up that reminds me that if we don't really fuel this marriage with the power of God, and if he's not at the center of our lives, our maintenance plan gets, you know, real difficult to have. I mean, you know.
I see the comparison of the maintenance plan for a car and the comparison of a maintenance plan for our marriages.
Really?
Car ownership can be a thrill,
uh-huh.
an investment, a hobby, an obsession, or even just a necessity. But owning a car also means learning how to maintain the car to keep it running well for a long time. In the same way, it's crucial to regularly maintain your marriage so it will last for life. So we're going to be doing 7 keys to marriage maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going to get to the first 2 tonight, though.
Yeah.
But I guess what we're trying to do is get you to come back and hear us again in a few weeks.
And I know you're praying for us. I know you're praying for us.
But if you're a note taker, here are the 7. And, of course, they're preceded by the first 2. Number 1, marriage needs a regular maintenance on the basics.
Right. Okay.
Marriage needs regular maintenance on the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, be sure your security system is working.
What?
Be sure your security system is working.
Okay.
Number 3, sometimes unexpected repairs are needed in spite of good maintenance.
You mean if I keep that something might happen to my car even though I do the regular stuff?
You might happen to your marriage too. Number 4. The best maintenance involves a willingness to use the best supply. The best maintenance involved a willingness.
So I can't use no cheap stuff to keep my marriage going. I got to put out I got to do the high maintenance. I got to do the high things. I got to do the moving markets kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, you can use a lot of cheap stuff though, as long as you're doing it constantly.
Think about that.
Pay attention, number 5. Pay attention to your marriage engine to know when something is wrong. Pay attention to your marriage engine to know when something is wrong. That's number 5.
That's number 5.
Let me say it again. Pay attention to your marriage engine. To know when something is wrong.
Yeah, we deal a lot with that when we're mentoring couples, that they seem not to know that their engine is missing. They're having something.
They have tune up.
On a regular. Yeah.
6 is to maintain the outward as well as the inward. That's going to be a fun discussion.
Mm-hmm.
6, maintain the outward as well as the inward.
Okay.
I-N-W-A-R-D, inward, not N-word.
Oh, Ron, that was sad.
Number seven, even, now here's something, now check this out.
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. Number seven, even a broken down marriage can be fixed.
Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. Come
mm-hmm.
on. That's right.
Okay, now, we're going to get the first two done tonight. And you better get your pencils flying. There's a lot of stuff that we have to get to. I don't know if we'll be able to finish the first two.
Well, we'll see. We'll go as long as the Spirit leads.
Okay.
And some of these that we talk about, you might, we have talked about it before. I think the thing about marriage and communication or any of those ways that we can maintain a marriage will require us to review some of the things that we've talked about. Because we've sort of picked that apart, now we're going to go back and put it all together to say this is what this plan looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ron, earlier we talked about that every vehicle needs a basic plan,
mm-hmm.
that marriage. And it reminds me of what my dad told me about keeping my vehicle going. First, he was, since there was mostly girls and only one boy, he was really a stickler on us not being dependent on other people to help us out,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he didn't want us just dependent on somebody because we didn't know what to do with our car. So he said that if a car is going to run well, you're going to have to check the fluids, always keeping up with, you know, the brake fluid,
the window washer,
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says get a regular oil change. Don't let that oil go and not take care of that. That can mess up your motor. And then he said, make sure you're checking your tires, because if the air is right, then you're going to get the best gas mileage. And so it was just little things that he taught us about a car that was important for to maintain that car. And so, and he said, if we would maintain that car and pay attention to it, it would last a long time. So we didn't always have to have a car note.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He was really animate about if we neglected to take care of those things, that was going to be, that car is going to have a short life, and the accumulation of the wear and tear was going to cause us to have a car note more often if we didn't pay attention. And so that was something that we learned along the way. That the importance of maintaining a vehicle. Well, you know what? It's the same thing in a marriage. We have to regularly maintain our marriage, and we're going to have to do it well.
So it's not enough just to tell your wife, I said I'd love you when we got married, and I'll let you know if anything changes.
No, that ain't going to work, babe. Well, that's the problem, because some people who claim the name of Christ think that way. They think, you know, I done said I love you, what else? I done said it. Now, go somewhere and sit down. And you really, they're missing out on the full opportunity to get to know that person, fully know that person like Christ would like for us to know them. And so I guess we start off with the basics. We have to keep up all the basics. We're going to talk about, Cecilia talked about it, love, patience, kindness, communication, intimacy. That all helps us to handle, maintain our marriage and keep up it from having some real wear and tear. So it can go the whole lifelong journey with what God has planned. So let's start with the first one, communication. I think we was planning with Cecilia, Sylvia, and she, that was the first thing she said that she remembered. So I was mm-hmm. like, oh, wow. she peaked our whole car right there.
Yeah.
And so, Ron, we talked about a couple of scriptures. We're not going to go through a long litany. We just talked about a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to make some points around communication. And we're going to talk about the knot. And then.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
And then maybe
mm-hmm.
how to reconcile that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is so that you put on your thinking cap. Because you're going to recognize the negative stuff.
Yeah.
And
you know
I want
it.
You to see what is the reverse of that. Okay? One of the first things about negative, the scriptures, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let us consider what James has said, and this is a scripture that, okay, this sums it up.
Yeah.
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yeah, James was a no-nonsense kind of prophet. And, you know, he was Jesus' brother. At least that's what we have reference to.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, look, trials and tribulations don't come, but you got to put on your big girl and your big boy panties. You got to come on.
Boys don't wear panties.
They don't. That's right, they don't. Sorry. Put on your shorts. Okay, sorry about that.
So we'll move on to okay, so the antithesis of James 1:19, you know, the opposite of doing what you're supposed to do, is not really listening. You ever been in kind of a situation where you're having a discussion with a person and you're not paying any attention to what they're saying? You're formulating your response in defense of yourself or whatever your point of view is without giving them any consideration. The biggest problem in communication is just not listening. Many of our communication problems would go away if we just intently listened to one another.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here, James spoke directly to this,
mm-hmm.
the second one,
yeah.
after not really listening. Number two is speaking before thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminds me of what my dad used to tell us, and I know I said this before, that he said God gave us two ears and one mouth. Use them in the same proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ah. So sometimes I'm guilty that I react far before listening because I already have something in my mind, settled in my mind, and so I'm not listening. I'm just like,
okay.
I don't know why you can't, you don't understand what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I haven't said it once. And so it really starts to make me start to have to slow down and see what you are saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
Mm-hmm. The third thing, the first one was not really listening.
Mm-hmm.
Second was speaking before talking. The third is only talking about what you want to talk about.
There's two people in a situation. Ain't I the most important? Ain't it all about me?
Mm.
Oh, it's not. So we're supposed to prefer the other person. We're supposed to be there to serve the other person. So I'm going to have to sort of really rethink when I am in a conversation, and I'm going to say when we're in a conversation and things, you're talking to me, I need to stop and listen and not try to only make my point.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I don't know. There's too many of those conversations, and I'll be calling our marriage mentors to help us as well.
We'll be calling folks instead of folks calling us. Yeah.
The fourth thing, raising your voice.
You know, now this is a pet peeve of mine. I really think that whole thing with raising your voice is especially with, I was going to say, with the man, it's like he is demonstrating his authority. And his authority comes without having to raise his voice. It comes naturally because God has given him that authority. Pastor talked about that, that there is a divine order.
Mm-hmm. And so he's raising his voice. He's trying to convince himself that he has authority.
That he has authority. And that really becomes a roadblock when you start raising your voice. And for the women, for the wife, too, or the woman in the situation, when you are raising your voice, you know, that creates an issue. A lot of times, husbands just close down. They shut down. They're like, I got nothing to say. I can't hear.
Well, it's difficult for a man to compete with a woman with words.
Why do you say that? Because we have more words than y'all have.
Well, yeah, women's vocabulary is larger than a man.
On the average, that's true. So, and talking is, I think, one of our gifts. God gave us that as a gift, talking, thinking through things, and then verbalizing it out. That's part of our gift. But if I raise my voice, if I'm doing that to make sure that I'm being heard, then that really creates a real roadblock for me to really demonstrate Christ in my situation. Because now it's all about me. Not only if I'm dominating the conversation, I'm also trying to out-talk you so I can win.
Mm-hmm. And now, here's something else that has nothing to do with talk. What about the rolling the eyes and the working the neck? The negative nonverbal communication. Your nonverbal communications, facial expressions, gestures, etc., will impact your conversations as well. Maybe you didn't say anything wrong, but you sure did say something wrong with your negative body language. You're rolling them eyes and working that neck.
And so.
Looking that hair. You know how y'all do.
What's that conversation when you put everybody, generalized folks, all together? And we get enough of that negative communication, because we get it in social media. People have identified black women a certain way, or white women, what do they call them, Karen?
And
Becky's, James 1 and 20 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, we have to be careful of how we communicate what we're doing in any kind of way. And sometimes we can be, our point can be right, but it's how we communicate that point is really, really hinders our communication, and it keeps us from maintaining that communication with our spouse. So we're not maintaining open communication that God would want us to have.
The other thing, too, now, there's, I don't know if I mentioned it, there's 10 of these things. We're on number 6 now. Number 6 is speaking in superlatives. And so what that means is that you always, you never, every single time. You ever heard of these words?
And that really, when you start to use those kinds of terms, that means that you have not acknowledged when your spouse has done the right thing or when they have provided for you that support. It now becomes almost like you're criticizing them, and they have no room to be right or to support. So it really creates this impossible situation for you in a conversation when the always come up.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need to avoid these superlatives. Number 7. Now, this is extremely important. Degrading your spouse. Now, although women do this to men, and I have to fix fewer of their words to do this, but this is something that men will do to a woman in a heartbeat. It's disrespecting any kind of ability that she has in a certain area. And this is the thing that we must remember, man. We should never, ever, ever degrade our spouse. And that's like opening up the pillow and letting all the feathers fly out in the wind. And then you're told to go gather all the feathers. You're never going to get every one of them back. So what's the moral of that story? Don't open the pillow.
Don't open the pillow. Yeah, I know we have worked with couples where the husband has called the wife the B word, and there's almost no coming back from that. Because what's your defense when somebody says that to you, and this is coming out of the mouth of someone that you love, you know? Or they will say, you act just like your mama, like you have some control over your mother's behavior, you know? That is, and so it's like, you know, I am now degrading you because really I'm trying to hurt you, because that's how it comes out. It's like you are damaging your relationship. And so it's so important that we learn to compliment our spouse and see those things. And sometimes it's so hard. We're so busy looking at all the bad things.
We just overlook the good things.
Right. And so, So that's like one of those, you know, we talked about this exercise we do with our couples where we have them sit down and write down all the things that attracted them to their spouse. What attracted you to your husband? What do you like about them? Well, you know, right now when they're not, you know, I don't like nothing about them, but I ain't talking about now. I'm talking about let's talk about those things. What's the characteristics in your husband? What are the character of this man or this woman that you have? You write those things down, and then you find a way to build on that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you really compliment them over and over again? You know, I am blessed because my husband always finds a way to compliment whatever I'm doing. You know, and sometimes I was like, you don't have to say that. You don't have to do that. And he does it because he loves me. And so that's a good thing.
And she does everything right.
Thank you. Okay. Well, what's that other one, Ron?
Okay. Now, these are all negative things, you know. These are antitheses with James 1:19. And so it's up to you to be able to figure out what the counterpoints are of these things. Playing the blame game. This is a miscommunication or a mistake that is made. Don't let your first instinct be blaming your wife, even if it's her fault. The blame game or pointing fingers doesn't work. You are one, you and your wife. That makes you both have a joint responsibility in whatever happens. Talk through it together. Find the learning opportunity for her and for you. So,
you know, that takes me back to Genesis. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Adam said, either wait a minute.
You were getting on God here.
He blamed God. He said, it's this woman that you gave me. This is a woman that you gave me. She fed me the fruit. I was like, you know, you trifling, Adam. You're supposed to step up to the plate. You know, that could have changed the whole thing. But instead of doing that, taking on the responsibility, holding himself accountable, he went straight to up.
It's your fault, Lord. You shouldn't have created
your
me
fault.
In the first place.
You shouldn't have created this woman.
This woman.
Not me. I was all right until this woman came along.
Oh, that was you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one that was giving the instructions.
Yeah, even though he was the one that's giving the instructions.
Mm-hmm. The other one, the ninth one, seeking to be understood first rather than to understand.
Well,
come on now.
So, you know, it's really about me thinking, or should I say I'm not thinking, but that when you're seeking to be understood, it's still now. It goes back to you. You being the center of the communication, you know. And so we need to strive to know what our spouse is thinking instead of getting into that, you know, you really need to hear what I said. I hear so many women now talk about, my husband doesn't respect me. My husband doesn't respect me. And I was like, but that's not your husband's role. But because we're in this reverse, well, I know that's our next one. We're in this whole confusion. Satan has just caused us to be in this confusion. It really keeps us from being able to really consider what that other person is going through. So I want you to understand what I'm saying. I want you to understand me rather than me understanding you. It makes me think about Stephen Covey. He does 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and these are one of his habits. Mm. He says in Habit 5, says, seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And that influences that. That is the role of that is to influence the others to develop a deeper understanding of their needs and their perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So it is about seeking that other person's point of view. What is that person saying? Now just think about it. When you start talking and you stop and just sit and listen and really think about that other person, it might even change your mind about what they're talking about. You might even end up agreeing with them,
mm-hmm,
because you're taking the time to stop and think about them. Well, there's one last one, Ron, and I think that's all we're going to get to tonight.
Yeah, bringing up the past.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be keeping score and do not bring up your past victories or your wife's past losses, mistakes. There's no positive purpose in that. It's a losing strategy when it comes to communication in marriage. It's actually a losing strategy when it comes to communication in life.
And with friends, on your job, whatever. I always say that this one is like sometimes wife can get historical and hysterical all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just really gets in the way of you really solving the problem. One of the things that we talked about as we studied this, we really talked about how this whole idea of bringing up the past really gets in the way of solving the problem. It doesn't give you a way to deal with the situation. So now you walk away and the situation now is worse. You didn't talk about the problem. Now you didn't talk about each other and you didn't hauled up all the stuff that used to happen, and Satan is sitting there grinning.
You shut down communication between you two to get the problem solved in the first place, and it also keeps you from communicating about future problems.
Right. So, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Destroy.
And that is the technique.
We gave you these 10 negative behaviors in communication. Not really listening, speaking before thinking, only talking about what you want to talk about, raising your voice, negative nonverbal communication, speaking in superlatives, degrading your spouse, playing the blame game, seeking to understand first rather than to be understood first rather than understand, and bringing up the past. And it's amazing how one scripture in the Bible can give us a response to all of those things. Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. And you see how these things create anxiety in a person.
Right.
When you express yourself and communicate this way. It says, but a good word makes him glad.
Yeah.
So the antithesis of all these things.
Yeah.
Is to just do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Of what each one of them is. And,
man.
And make everything a good word. What do you think about that, Tony?
Oh, Ron, I think that is wisdom. You know, in Proverbs, it tells us to seek wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have wisdom, and if your marriage is having, if you're having issues with your marriage or even just in communicating with others, we want you to think about these 10 ways that keep a relationship from really having its best tune-up. This is like the oil. This is like the fluid. These are the parts that keeps us from being able to really show the world what it looks like when we're communicating and being Christ-like in our marriages. So this is what we would like to share tonight.
And we thank y'all for listening. We were supposed to get to part two. Be sure if your security system is working. But you know, boy, I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I want everybody who is here tonight to tell everybody that they know to be here on the 22nd of November.
Mm.
That's when we're going to be back here, and we're going to be talking about be sure your security system is working. This is going to be an interesting discussion, y'all.
Yeah. With that in mind, Minister Sylvia, it is in your hands.
My God, I am so excited on the lesson to part one, what you call it, the knot. This was not. That's a very interesting title, the knot. Because if we really think about it, we got a whole lot of stuff that we're not supposed to be doing. And
I know.
If we don't do the knots, we wouldn't come up with the situations we come up with, because a lot of times you be telling your spouse, if you get tired of me, don't let me be the last to know. Let me be the next to know.
I heard that.
Right, don't let me be the last to know. Let me be the next to know. Because if we cut out a lot of these knots, we don't even have to say that.
Yes.
You know, when a person loves you, you are able to say, no, I love you more. No, I love you more.
Each one
of you are making the love more. So I thank God for the end of the month, because what it is, when you get this end of the month service on Mondays, you can go back and look at what you did not do through the month, and you can finish the month and start the next month off with knowing not to do this, because then that leads you into making sure your security system is working. Don't just pay pay attention to a little here, pay attention to a lot of me.
That's up there.
I thank you. So I'm going to say the lines are open. If anybody on Facebook want to type something in, I'll read it out. If anybody on Blog Talk has something to say, please open the lines, Apostle, and let whoever want to speak, speak. Oh, it was a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Good evening, ministers and Mother Tony, Minister Ron, and Minister Sylvia. Mm. Once again, this was a very good session, marriage maintenance, and especially the don'ts. And I believe because the don'ts is something we don't really think twice about, because we're forever doing it. But the communication in a marriage is a skill that you can learn, and you are teaching us how to communicate with our spouses, with our significant others. And especially James 1:19, swiftly, he is slow to speak and slow to anger. That's something that we need to focus on really hard, because I hear a lot of arguments going on between the husband and wife, the girlfriend and the boyfriend. And then you're bringing up the past, but carrying that old baggage hinders progress. You can't really connect if you still got that old baggage that you're carrying and that you're fuming about. See, so the argument that you're having now is a buildup, I think, a lot of times, of things that happened in the past that weren't past that weren't resolved.
Resolved.
But
exactly right.
Couples have to be open. They have to be honest, and they have to not be afraid to share their feelings because
mm-hmm.
they're in it together, but a lot of people don't really realize that. So this is a valuable lesson for all of those in something that you should take this on the road because marriages today are in trouble. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
So this was excellent. This I enjoyed it, even though I'm not married. But still, I can look back and see all of the don'ts that I used to invoke all these don'ts. So, yeah, this is a beautiful lesson.
And you
lesson.
Can pass it on to others. You can pass it
yes.
on.
Yeah,
yeah. The thing about
yeah.
it, yeah.
And I had a notebook with notes in it, but it's for the life of me. See, I'm going to pray that the Lord restores my memory. I can't remember where I put my notes. But once again, beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
And
thank
I thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, Montgomery, Team Montgomery. This is Margo. Just wanted to
yeah.
thank you for the lesson tonight. I have been here, have been listening, and I think one of my takeaways is with communication, especially in a marriage, but I think any real communication, if we could think about putting the other person first,
mm-hmm.
if we could think mm-hmm. about putting them first, listening, as you said, to them, thinking about what they want to say, building them up, all of those ways of maybe avoiding the knot is to make them number one. Make that individual you're listening to, make them number one in your thoughts and in your communication. And that, again, takes practice and takes a will. You have to be willing to do these things because they are not really, I don't think, indicative of our nature. We have to want to do it God's way. So thank you very much. God bless you both.
Thank you, sis. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. Appreciate that.
Amen. Anyone else?
Hello, this is Cecilia. I'll be really quick. Thank you, missionary and Minister Montgomery, for the M&M. And that is the marriage maintenance. I said we had M's all over the place. Minister and the missionary gave us a message on tonight about, marriage maintenance. Thank you. Just for the M&M. It was delicious.
Y'all are so clever. I love it.
Is anyone else would like hurts on tonight? Okay, well, we don't seem to have anyone else that would like to speak. Say this last thing before I give the final remarks. With the message on tonight, when the minister said to stop bringing up things from the past, the victories and the loss. What I'm going to say is remember when you first saw him, how you giggled. And remember, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, remember when you first saw her, how you winked your eye. If you're going to remember anything, remember, like they said, what attracted you. Before you
mm-hmm.
get the knot, go back to remember the what. And I just want to say I thank you for the word on tonight. It really made me smile because as you were talking, I had to go back and think, what was it that caught my eye and it brought a smile to my face? Yes, so just to know that we say on this ministry that when we minister to ourselves first. And at the
yes.
same time, we share the ministry, we allow the ministry to minister to us because I started out saying before the program on Blog Talk started, I don't dot every I and I cross every T. I'm human too, But at times I said, God, I need you to refresh me. And with the word on tonight, it was a refreshing word because it told me about the knots. Because I thank God he's brought me a long way. Praise God for that. Praise God for
Amen.
That. Because sometimes we halt on the other side, but we don't look in the mirror when it comes to us because he said some key things. It can't always be about you. Planning to get married, you got to leave that me, myself, and I out, and it become about we, us, and together.
Thank you. Say that.
I thank God for this lesson. I thank God for you all coming up with these series because we are very happy for you all to be a part of this ministry because when you have been married over 40-some years, there's not enough you can teach us because you're always learning. Therefore, we're always learning from you because when you can be with your husband and you smile while you're doing it, y'all don't sound like you're sucking women. You don't sound like you promoted yourself up to do the program. I thank God for that. So I'm going to give you a foundation of scripture which fit in good with this marriage. But see,
first,
his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Look at that.
Not just some of them?
All of them.
Not all of them.
You said all these things. So I'm going to give the final remarks, and I'm going to have the minister and our missionary pray us out tonight. So don't forget, this Monday night was an awesome night of family teaching. It was for you to learn how to receive and how to be received. I thank God for the lesson on tonight, part one of the knots. Come back on the 27th to learn to make sure your security system is working. Look at God. Look at God. I just want you all to know you can also come back on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. This Friday I will be your host for Blog Talk as well as Facebook Live. We are here on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. on Blog Talk only with our very own apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, with Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Branson Kaiser. That's at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. So don't forget, we love you all with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you could do about it. Please go back within an hour and look to this on Archives with Blog Talk and come back at any time and look at it on Facebook. So at this time, I'm going to ask the man to pray us out and just have a lovely night.
Well, Lord, we thank you, and we praise your name, for you are wonderful, and there's no God like you. We come, Daddy, and we sit at your feet, and we call you holy because you have created everything that we need. And so marriage was your design. It's by your word. It's by your ideas that you created this entity. And so in it, Lord God, we move and have our being. We ask, God, that you bless those that are listening, all those that will eventually listen, that they will catch the truth of your word, that they will live it out, that there will be a love, understanding as they start, Lord God, to really create a maintenance plan on purpose, that they'll sit down and write it out, that they will intentionally look to you and look to your word to figure out why the knots are not working and get them out of the way so they'll have, Lord God, a beautiful and wonderful marriage that will represent you in the marketplace. God, we ask that you bless all of those that are on this line, every family that's on this line. God, meet them at their point of need. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We just ask, God, that you know what this ministry stands in need of. Lord, we just ask that you provide, Lord, everything that they need. because these are your servants and they're doing your will. So live out, Lord, your purpose in their life that they can look up and live. We just thank you for this opportunity. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.